that's probably a no-no for me, because I believe it's something that's very serious that we should all take take heart. Because, you know, we believe there's a heaven, right?
Yeah.
But we also believe there's a hell. And this week, the Lord has just impressed on my heart about hell. And, you know, it seems like we see it around us all the time as well. But I'm going to talk to you for just a few minutes about what is going on with hell. I hear that word a lot, and a lot of times we hear it in a derogatory or a slang term. But friends, there is a real hell. And somebody might say, well, hell's just going to be a big party. Well, it's not going to be a big party. And you'd be sorry you ever said that if you ever found your way there in eternity. But let me ask you this question today. Is hell real?
Yeah.
Is hell real? J.C. Ryle, he said this in a quote. He said, disbelieve hell and you unscrew, unsettle, and unpin everything in Scripture. You may as well throw your Bible away at once. Because the Bible tells us there is a hell. Jesus tells us there is a hell. There is a punishment for sinners. There is a punishment for not making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Hell is real. Now, have I been to hell? No, and I'm not planning on going there. You know, I don't even want a visitation there or a dream or a vision of hell. I know people personally that have had experiences with hell. We had a gentleman in our church when I was growing up in White House, Texas, that his family was involved in church, and I believe they had a right relationship, but the dad didn't. And one day the dad had some physical complications, and he literally was dying. And as he was dying, he literally felt himself being pulled to hell. He'd come back to tell this story later. He felt the hurls and the pain and the heat and just the suffering that was awaiting him. But as he was being pulled to hell, somebody reached out and pulled him and said, "Not now, it's not your time." And that man made a change.
Yes.
Amen. His life turned around completely. And I want to tell you, he was faithful to the Lord. He loved the Lord. He was faithful to be in the house of the Lord with his family. And he found out that hell is real. I hope that nobody ever has to have that experience, but people have. And there are documented testimonies over and over again. I'm going to share maybe three of them here in just a few minutes about how real hell is. But maybe in order to ask yourself this question, is hell real? First of all, you have to ask yourself, is God's word real? Because if you don't believe in God's word, then you won't believe there's a hell. If you don't believe there is a God in heaven, then you won't believe there's an alternative that has been created as well, a place for suffering and torture. And I'm sorry, this isn't to scare anybody. I'm not trying to do that. I remember growing up as a kid watching Thief in the Night movies at church and watching all these things. You know, some of you have read the books, the Left Behind series, and all of these different details about what it could be like if you miss out on the rapture or eternity. I don't even want to give you a picture of hell. I don't want to give any glory to the enemy. I don't want to give him any honor today by even showing a picture of what hell might be like. But you know, it is said that many people love the ideal of heaven, but they hate the ideal of hell. Many people believe in heaven, but fewer people believe in hell. The Bible, however, is clear that hell is just as real as heaven. The Bible clearly and explicitly teaches that hell is a real place to which the wicked and the unbelieving are sent after death. Hell is not simply, as many would have it, a place where only people like we think of like Hitler or some of those terrible individuals would wind up. But the truth is that all of us deserve hell because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 tells us that. The Bible tells us also in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is said that since all of our sin is ultimately against God, and since God is an infinite and an eternal being, then sin against an eternal being deserves eternal punishment. I've never really thought of it that way. Why would we deserve such a punishment as eternity in hell? Because we serve an eternal God. And when we sin against such a divine, eternal God, then we deserve the ultimate consequences for our sin. One writer said, physical death then can't be a sufficient payment for eternal sin. The payment must also be infinite and eternal. That's hell. We're going to look a little bit more at hell this morning. And sorry, I hope you don't go home mad today. This isn't against anybody. This is just, the Lord laid this on my heart, and I'm, you know, I don't like to talk about hell. I don't like hell. I don't want to. I don't even want to give credit to hell. But there is a hell, and people need to know that. And need to be reminded. Matter of fact, here's an article that was written by Matt McWilliams about people who have been to hell and back. The first guy's name is Bill Weiss. You're not going to have this up here, so you just have to listen to me today. Bill Weiss. On November morning in 1998, Bill Weiss, who's the author of a book titled 23 Minutes in Hell. What does that tell you? He spent 23 minutes in hell. He had an experience that would forever alter the course of his life. In an event that he relates to a vision, Bill Weiss, a devout Christian, describes his experience as being plunged into hell. In his book, 23 Minutes in Hell, Bill Weiss describes many horrifying sights, smells, and sounds. After what felt like falling down a long tunnel, Bill found himself in a dark, dirty prison. Many people wonder if hell is hot or cold. He shared that he experienced an intense heat that seemed too hot for life to even survive. And while in this foul prison-like cell, Bill realized that there were two large creatures who were sharing the cell with him. During his time in hell, which lasted exactly 23 minutes, Bill Weiss experienced a great number of horrors, including torture, intense darkness, a raging pit of fire, screaming, foul odors, and varying levels of torment. Suddenly, Bill recalled seeing a bright light and felt himself rising out of the tunnel through which he had previously descended. Following his vision, Bill knew his life calling was to share this experience with the world. And after sharing his experience with anyone who listened, he recorded this entire saga in his first book, 23 Minutes in Hell. And this was a believer. I don't believe he was taken to hell because of his disobedience. I think he was taken there for the experience so he could share this experience to keep other people from going there. And maybe it was more of a vision than it was a live experience, but it was real to him, it felt like. How many of you have heard of the minister Kenneth Hagin? Well, Kenneth Hagin was born and raised in a Christian family. But at the age of 15, he experienced a near-death experience with a chronic heart condition. So I don't really know at this age if he was really serving the Lord, even though he lived in a Christian home. You know, just living under the roof of somebody doesn't make you a Christian, does it?
No.
That old saying that a car, being in the garage doesn't make you a car either, does it? But in his book titled, I Believe in Visions, Reverend Hagin shares his experience with hell. He said, unlike Bill Weiss, Kenneth Hagin's experience began when his heart ceased to beat. And he recalls the feeling of numbness spreading throughout his body. In his book, he recounts his experience as follows. I began to descend down and down into a pit, like you'd go down into a well, cavern, or cave. And I continued to descend. And I went down feet first. And I could look up and see the lights of the earth. But finally, they faded away. Darkness encompassed me round about, darkness that is blacker than any night man has ever seen. Reverend Hagin shares many descriptions of hell similar to other experiences, including intense darkness, unbearable heat, strange creatures, and great flames of fire. Fortunately for Kenneth Hagin, the doctors were able to save him from a seemingly inevitable death. Well, I believe that was God that was using the doctors. And he continues to serve God. He continued to serve God for years, pastoring Rhema Bible College, a church that was founded under his ministries. But, you know, those sound like believers. Well, Kenneth, I don't know if he was a believer at this time, but here's a gentleman by the name of Matthew Boxford. Unlike the other people we had mentioned, Matthew was far from Christianity. When he had his near-death experience in hell, Matthew was shot in the head. Doctors decided to put him in a medically induced coma to save his life. The coma lasted for 27 days. Matthew describes his experience immediately following being shot in the following way. There was utter blackness, incredible fear. I went to a place that I believe was hell. It was void of anything good, beyond anything any words could describe. In his experience, he remembers terrifying creatures, torment, and profound isolation. While it was not immediate, Matthew Bosper eventually recovered and gave his life over to God. Man, I believe that probably most, if not all, people that have had those experiences gave their hearts to the Lord if they came back. y'all is real friends. You know, maybe I can't testify to that in a personal experience, thank the Lord, but there are people that can. But more than that, the Bible tells us hell is real. And I'm just crazy enough to believe God's word, aren't you? I'm just crazy enough to believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. Why does God tell us about hell? Because God doesn't want us to go there. God wants to keep us from that place that has been created. And we'll look a little bit more at that in just a minute. Well, let me ask you this question. What is hell? What is hell? Well, according to Bible teaching, hell is the state where those who do not have faith in Christ are consigned to suffer eternally. We might know hell as the abyss, eternal death, eternal punishment, Hades, a place of torment, spiritual death. Hell as a noun is a place of torment where sinners suffer eternal punishment. It's also a location for the suffering for the dead. Some of you, if you've read scripture long enough, you know that there are different words. The Hebrew word for hell is Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. Sheol is a Hebrew word with the ideal of the place of the dead. It has no direct reference to either torment or eternal happiness. The ideal is accurately expressed as the grave. Here's another word, Hades. You've heard the word Hades before. Hades is the Greek word for hell used to describe the world beyond. In the Bible, it has generally the same ideal as Sheol. Speaks to the bottomless pit called the abyss, or a prison for certain demons. Or more generally, it is considered part of the realm of the dead. Here's a Greek word also for hell. It's called Gehenna. Anybody ever heard that word, Gehenna? Gehenna is a Greek word borrowed from the Hebrew language. Jesus speaks of hell as Gehenna. Hell is a Greek translation of the Hebrew, quote, Valley of Hinnom. This is a real place around Jerusalem. Matter of fact, a place right outside Jerusalem's walls where Molech was worshipped and where human sacrifices were offered and children were offered in the fire. It was a large garbage dump where rubbish and refuse were born, and smoldering fires and festering worms of the Valley of Hinnom made it a graphic and effective picture of the fate of the damned. That's maybe where we get the term the lake of fire. You see, men only go to this place prepared for the devil and his angels if they reject God's salvation. Let me just give you some scripture today. The Bible is full of lots of scripture, and I'm not going to give you all of them, but let me just share a few of them with you today. Revelation 21:8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Matthew 10:28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. How about Matthew 25:46? And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And here's some more. Revelation 20:10. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's a good thing, friends. Revelation 20:15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, these worshipers of the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. Here's a few more. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Matthew 13:15, throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. 2 Peter 2:4, for God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. Just think about what our fate will be as well. And then one more, Revelation 20:14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. That's after the millennial reign of Christ when he comes back to rule and reign forever and set up his kingdom on the earth. That's just a few scriptures. It doesn't talk about hell, Hades, Sheol, Gehenna, the lake of fire, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of torment where the soul never dies. Brian Chapel, who's the president of Covenant Theological Seminary, he said this. He says, hell is a place of total, conscious, eternal separations from the blessings of God. And there's a sense in which hell is people getting exactly what they want. In that if a person rejects God all through life, never submitted to him or repentance, then the person will have inner eternity after death without God. You know, many people say, well, that's not fair. Hell's not fair. Well, hell's not fair. Hell's not fair, but hell's not for you. Hell is not a place that God wants you to go. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ came and gave his life at Calvary that we might have life and eternal life and that we might live with him in heaven. God doesn't want you to go to hell. Did you know that? Hell is a place you choose. I don't believe hell is a place that God chooses for you. Maybe in a sense it feels like that, but really it's a place that man chooses for themselves. You know, could it be that when Jesus walked through hell in his burial, his grave, that he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave? Could it be that only he can allow people to go in or people to come out? Think about that. You don't really think about that as much. We know that he has the keys, but he has the keys to hell as well. And one day he's going to bind Satan and the false prophet and that beast, the dragon, and he's going to bind all those that have deceived so many in eternity in that place that has been created for them. I just want to give you two things today, just for a few minutes. And it won't take me long. I'll finish up because I don't like to talk about hell. I really don't. But here's the first thing. Hell wasn't created for you, friends. If you don't like hell, you don't like hearing about hell, well, guess what? It wasn't made for you. The Bible teaches that God did not create hell as a judgment for humanity. God created hell as a punishment for the devil and his angels, those fallen angels. It wasn't a place for humanity to suffer in. Jesus said in Matthew 25:41, he said, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Friends, hell's not for you. God didn't create hell as a place for you to spend eternity or to be punished. God never made that for you. But there are scriptures that talk about hell is enlarging its borders. Maybe it just seems like more people are taking advantage of going there. I don't know. He also says to those on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." Hell was created as a place of judgment for Satan and those who followed him in their rebellion against God. The Bible says that the devil and his angels will eventually be consigned to hell. I believe that there are some angels that are already locked up there, waiting to be released in that tribulation period. But God has already confined and consigned some to hell. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. And in Revelation 20:10, it says there will be brimstone and there will be torment day and night forever and ever. You know, it almost seems like, well, Lord, it'd just be easier if you just wipe them out completely and just wipe out their existence, but that's not really punishment. And I'm not God. The punishment is for them to experience this devastation and this rejection on their part from God for eternity. How long is eternity, friends? I can tell you. And I've heard stories that a bird took a grain of sand from the east coast and flew to the west coast and dropped it off and went back until he took every grain of sand from the east coast to the west coast and eternity just begun. That's a long time to go to a place in torment. Will it just be your soul there? Some people say, no, it's going to be your body there. Because your body is going to feel the torment and the pain. You're going to have the senses to smell the terrible odors that come from there. Your senses to hear the screams and the yells and all the terrible things that is in hell, in that place of the dead. Can I tell you, friends, human beings who are created in God's image are not meant to spend eternity away from the presence of God. The difference when God made you, he looked at you and he had a plan for your life. A plan for you to enjoy life and to spend eternity with him in heaven forever. The Bible says that Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," this is John 14, "I will do what? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be." Remember that little word at the end also. It almost tells you that, you know, you have a choice to choose if you want to spend eternity with him in the place that he has created for us. Hell was not created for humanity, but it is the destination of those who reject God's salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's things I don't understand. And I'm sure all of you can say that. There's also things about God's grace I don't understand. I think some of us are really going to be surprised at the grace of God on people's lives. And then some of us might be really surprised. Well, hopefully we won't find this out. But those that didn't walk in that grace. But God's amazing, friends. Can I tell you that God wishes that none should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance? You see, God's plan is for everyone to be saved. The people choose to reject him. So, friends, hell wasn't created for you. Here's my second point today. Jose, come on back, buddy. Come on, buddy. You don't have to go there. Is that not exciting, buddy? You don't have to go there. Well, unless you choose to, but you don't have to go there. You know, you don't have to get up every morning and breathe and have your cup of coffee and eat your donuts or scramble your eggs. You know, you don't have to come to church on Sundays. You know, you have a choice. That's the free will that God's given mankind. We have a choice to choose. Choose you today whom you will serve. I don't know what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You have a choice every day of what you're going to do that day and how you're going to live your life. You also have a choice of how you're going to spend your eternity after this life. How do you remember that famous theologian, Ann Landers? Anybody ever used to read her columns in the paper, Ann Landers? Well, on January the 10th, 1993, in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, she wrote that during a heated argument in the U.S. Senate back in the 1920s, one man told a colleague to go to H-E-L-L. The astonished senator questioned Vice President Coolidge, who was presiding, as to the propriety of the remark of telling that senator to go to H-E-L-L. Coolidge, who had been leafing through a book, looked up and said, "I have been checking the rules manual, and you don't have to go there." Maybe Calvin Coolidge's witty remark kind of mirrors the opinions of many today when asked about hell. You don't have to go. Some people say you don't have to go, but they don't want to make the choices that keep them from going. Polls show that in spite of the fact that most Americans believe in the existence of hell, they do not think that they will go there. Although he was jesting, maybe Mr. Coolidge actually had the right idea. We must consult the rules manual. And I tell you, if you're not reading the manual, then how do you know what the rules are, right? How do you know what the requirements are? You know, I know sometimes, especially in business world, or just it seems like everything you do, if you buy a house, a car, there's all these contracts that, you know, they give you to sign at the bottom. And you know, a lot of times we just steal everything and we just sign our name and date it without reading all the regulations and all the rules of the manual. I mean, when you buy a new car, you get out that little book they put in the glove compartment. It's about 8 feet, and you read all the rules of the manual, how everything works. No, you say, "I'll figure this out. This button's going to do this, right?" And you know, you sit there, you play with that thing forever, and you can't figure it out. So finally, you get out the rule manual, and you're like, "Oh, here on page 9B. And there it is. You know, I've done that many times. The Frisbee have a rules manual. And if we'll read the manual, we'll find out that hell wasn't created for us. And we don't have to go there. Can I tell you what? Everyone lives forever. Can I just say it that way? Everyone lives forever. The only question is, which location do you choose to live? You know, I know it's appointed on a man wants to die. But everybody's going to stand before God on Judgment Day. To the believers, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. But to the unbelievers, we're going to stand, you're going to stand at the great white throne judgment, and he's going to open the books. And Scripture tells us that there's books in Revelation, and one of the books is the book of life. And if your name's not found in there, he's going to open up the books of works, and he's going to see everything you did, and he's going to judge you accordingly. And he's going to throw you into the lake of fire. Because how many know your works didn't save you? No matter how many good works you did, only your relationship with Jesus Christ. Friends, hell wasn't created for us. We don't have to go there. Yes, hell is most definitely real. It's a very real place of torment and punishment that lasts forever and ever. And the only escape from the reality of hell is to run to the cross, where we can gain forgiveness for our sins. And only in an infinite sacrifice can that pay for the penalty for an infinite sin against an infinite God. That's why the sacrifice of bulls and goats and lambs and heifers and dogs and all the things that the Israelites had to take before the altar, those things really couldn't make atonement for their sin. They were finite. They were temporal. That's why every year the priest had to go into the sanctuary of the Lord, into the Holy of Holies, and to make atonement for the people, because every year they had sinned throughout the year, and there was no substitute for their sins. But Jesus Christ, the infinite God, once and for all paid the highest price so that we could have an infinite relationship with God. Because our flesh is finite, friends. One day, our bodies are going back to the grave from which they came. From dust we came, dust we shall return. But there's that spirit man inside of us, that soul man that's going to live with the Lord for eternity if we know Him as our Lord and Savior. And one day He's going to give us a new body. And we're going to enjoy all the benefits that God has for us in heaven. But for those that reject God, they're going to enjoy all the benefits that hell has for them in eternal punishment. You see, there's no other option, friends. Choose you this day who will serve. Choose you this day what location you will spend eternity in. Maybe this is for somebody that's watching, or maybe we'll watch later. Friends, hell wasn't created for you. You don't have to go there. God has a better plan for your life. And He has a place, friends, that is filled with milk and honey, friends. There's a place where we're going to live throughout eternity in a body that will never face sickness or disease again. There's a place we're going to live in joy and peace, and we're going to just enjoy all the wonderful benefits of our wonderful infinite God. He's given us. Come on, I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. I'm not going to be long. I don't want to keep talking about hell. But yet we need to be reminded that hell is real. And maybe preachers, sometimes we fail to talk about hell. Yes, we want to talk about grace, and I love talking about grace. But friends, there's that opposite spectrum of God's grace, and it's God's punishment for our sins. God doesn't want to punish anybody. He's a loving Father. He has wonderful plans, and He gives good gifts to His children that ask Him. But there are those that just keep rejecting their Father, keep running away from their Father, keep denying the blessings that God has from their Father. You know, friends, one day your rejection is going to run out if you're not careful. And maybe you won't have that opportunity as some of these that we talked about to have a second chance, in a, so to speak. Yeah, the thief on the cross had that last-minute conversion. But you know, not everybody has an 11th-hour conversion experience. Not everybody has that last moment before death to make it right with the Lord. I'm sure there are many that have, and we don't know, and I'm so thankful to God that they did. I would pray that God would give everybody, you know, that don't know Him, a last-minute opportunity. But how many times has God been wooing us and drawing people to Him throughout their life, but they just keep denying that relationship? If that's you and you're watching, today is your day. God wants to be the Lord of your life. God wants to give you a future and a hope of life and health and not pain and suffering. So all you have to do is just ask Him into your heart. Say, Lord, come in and be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. I choose this day to follow You all the rest of my days. And I want to live with You in eternity in heaven. Because hell wasn't created for you. So please don't choose to go there. Maybe somebody here today, you're just struggling with your walk. I just give you that opportunity. And maybe, and it's not that you're going to hell, but maybe you're just struggling with your faith. And maybe there's just things in your life that you're dealing with, and you just don't feel like you're worthy sometimes of the blessings of the Lord. And friends, you're more worthy than you realize. But you're struggling with that. And today you say, Pastor, I just I just need to solidify some things with the Lord, and I just want to make sure things are okay, and I want to make sure I'm walking in obedience and faith, and I don't want to disappoint the Lord in any way. Maybe if that's you, just slip your hand up real quick and say, "Would you just pray for me?" Yeah, here's one. Anybody else? Just be honest. It doesn't mean you're wrong, man. It just means you're struggling with something. I see those hands. Thank you. Come on. Would you just right now, at this moment, just right where you're at, say, "Lord, here am I. Lord, I know there are things I'm dealing with, and I'm not making some very wise, healthy decisions, but Lord, I need your help. And so today, Lord, just help me, Lord, to walk in faith, to walk in obedience. Lord, if I've done something that has disappointed you or failed you or sinned against you, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I want to live out my fullest potential with you, Lord, knowing that eternal life is for me in heaven. One day I'm going to spend eternity with you. Lord, help me to walk it out, Father, faithfully. Lord, I choose to follow you. I choose to live for you. I chose that path a long time ago, but Lord, it seems like the enemy just keeps trying to stumble me and detour me and trip me up. But Lord, I know who I am, and I know who I choose to follow today. Lord, with your help, I'll do my best to serve you all the rest of the days of my life. Cleanse me, oh God, wash me. Hallelujah. 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 Well, just worship the Lord.